That's him.
Amen and amen. Ain't he good? That is him. He's all. He can't be but good. Thank you, Stephanie. Mama Rob, Miss Pat, Brother Greg, stepping in. All right, take your revelation this morning and turn, if you would, to the book of John, the Gospel of John. We're going to be in chapter number 15. We may be around 14 and in the 16. Our Sunday school class, we talked about the helper and how Jesus said it was to the advantage of the disciples that he actually depart, that he can send the helper. We need the helper, the comforter. We need the Holy Spirit, not only to guide us, but to empower us. But he promises us this, that the Spirit will not only guide us into truth, but it's also going to guide a world that we proclaim the truth to. He said he'll help us. And when we proclaim the word, he'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And we want to rely on the Spirit's work in our life. We can't do God's work without God's Spirit. And all God's people said, that's part of abiding in him. So John chapter number 15, let's look in these first few verses here and just talk about this and maybe some application or some principles found in the older Testament in the book of Isaiah that is saying the exact same thing of this idea or this illustration that Jesus used about abiding or staying connected to him. And we want to, let's think about a few words before we read this passage. Let's just think about this before we get too far into it. Words like, here they are, here's a few words. Word like spirit-filled. These are words that should describe us, Brother Shannon. That should describe the believer's life. Words like spirit-filled, fruitful, faithful, joyful, loving, trusting, peaceful, restful, waiting, and humble, thriving, leaders, triumphal, overcoming, soaring, are words that should describe the believer. That ought to be how we are defined. When people see those kind of that in our life that help define us, that's just a manifestation of Jesus living in us. But sadly, this is the sad case, is that words like unbelief, words like excuses, fretting, surviving, folly, being the tail and not the head is what normally describes a lot of people who claim to be followers of Jesus in our modern day. Amen. Not spirit-filled, not fruitful. And it all goes back to this idea that Jesus illustrated to us and to his disciples on that night that they were eating that supper before he was going to make his way to the cross. One of my favorite phrases Jesus uses is in John chapter 14. Let's just read this. We've talked about it before, and this is something that he wants to help us with in our daily walk. This leads into the discussion about the vine. And everything Jesus is saying, specifically everything he's saying at this last night before his crucifixion, all this is tied together. All this is intimately building into one another. He's already talked about abiding. He's talked about remaining, staying in his word, staying with him. But in verse number 31, he says, "But that the world may know," this is chapter 14, 31, "but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise and let us go from here." Now that's a word there. That the world may know, and that they may know that the Father has given me a commandment. So I do. Jesus said, "I do what I do because I love my Father, and my Father's given me a word to walk in. He's given me something to trust. He's given me something to cling to. He's given me something to do. And I want to do that. I do it because of my love for Him. I do it because of I want the world to know that I love Him and that He's given me a word. 14:31. Let's read it one more time. But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me a commandment, so I do. Everything we do ought to be based on that motive for the love of God. Amen? Amen. When you have a love for God, that is simply saying I have a love for Jesus. I love what the Spirit is doing in my life. I'm doing it because this is the will of the Father. I do what I do for the love of my Father and that He's given me something to accomplish in His power and His strength. He's teaching us the motivation of why He's doing what He's going to the cross. He's about to be mocked. He's about to be shamed. He's about to be ridiculed. He's totally going to be misunderstood. That the world didn't want anything to do with Him. Just everything that Jesus is about to do is going against the grain of the world. But He says, I'm going to face it. I'm going to endure it. I'm going to embrace it. Because I love my Father and I want the world to know who I love and why I do what I do. Man, think about what we have to face or go through or endure or embrace for His name's sake. We do it or should do it because we're compelled by His love. Compelled by His love that He's given us a mission to accomplish. And then He goes into chapter 15. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And the idea of taking away is the idea of a lifting up. The word take away means to lift, to elevate, to pick up. It'd be similar to, how many of you ever grown tomatoes before? What do some of your branches on your tomatoes do? What do they do, Greg? Nothing, Greg says. They turn green but don't produce, huh? Well, when those branches, Brother Shannon, what they do when they branch off to that main vine, they normally are going to go toward the sun, but they're heavy, so they are going to what? They're going to droop. They're going to go toward the ground. You don't want them laying in the soil, in the ground. Of course, they will actually reroot themselves even in the ground, but what's going to happen, they're going to start getting covered up. They're more exposed to bugs and those types of things. So what do we do with a tomato vine and those branches? We normally will what? Tie them up. Take them up. Lift them up. Pick them up off of the ground and lift them up toward the sun. They get better sunlight, and you get them out of the ground, off the grass. That's just a process that we attempt to do. And then also, what does a vine dresser will do? They not only will lift up a branch, but they also will prune. They will prune. They'll cut away things that are just not producing, and it helps that vine become even more fruitful. So the picture here is that you're in connected to the vine. The Father lifts us up, verse 3. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I spoke to you, which He's already said in chapter number 13. Verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you as the branch, similar to a vine and its branches. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them up and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. So we see the idea of abiding is the idea of being fruitful. And when we're fruitful, it also implies that we're going to be a praying group. We're going to be we're going to pray. We're going to ask God for more fruit. And the scriptures teach us here that the Father wants us to be fruitful, so He's going to help us. We're going to ask Him for help. Verse 8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be what? Full. We want your joy to be full. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. The things I command you, that you love one another. So it's obvious that this fruit that he's referring to is joy, it is love, it is peace. And are those things that the product of the Spirit produces within us. We need God's Spirit.
Amen.
We need its fruit flowing through us. What are some of the functions of the branch? We talked about this before. I've given you in times past. It's been a little bit, but there's four functions of a branch. Four functions of a branch. What are they? Some of you might even have it written down in this passage next to it. But four functions of a branch. Number one, we got to remember, this is not a function of the branch. This is what the vine does. Fruit comes from the vine. Fruit is a product of the vine. No branch produces fruit. That is a product of the vine. And the life source of the fruit and the branch is found where? In the vine. In the vine. In the vine. Jesus is our fruit producer. Amen?
Amen.
What is the function of the branch? To stay connected to the vine. To remain connected. To abide. How do we remain connected to Jesus? How do we stay intimately connected with Him? This is the work of faith. You believe Him. You trust Him. You believe what He says. You take Him at His word. That's how you stay connected to Jesus. You just believe Him. It's when we are operating in unbelief or we get our focus on something else and we get distracted is when we're not operating in faith. And when we're not operating in faith, we're not intimately connected to Jesus. What is the first thing that's going to happen in our life? Peace is going to start blowing the whistle because I get what? Unsettled in my spirit. I get frustrated. I get all these things start welling up within me. Why? It's an indicator that I'm not operating in faith. I'm not trusting, looking to Jesus. Because why? The scripture says in Isaiah 26:3. What is it? Y'all help me with it. This ought to be one of our favorites. Thou will keep you him in what? Perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed on thee because he what? Trust in thee. How do you know you trust in Jesus? Your mind, you're seeking him, you're looking to him. You're not trusting in yourself. You're not trusting in what you see around you. You're trusting what he's given you. You're clinging to what he's given you. He don't have to give you everything he knows, and he doesn't, right? It's impossible for us to know everything God knows. And everybody said, why is that impossible? One, we're incapable of that. Number two, if we knew everything he knew, we'd be God too. And that ain't going to happen. Amen? So no, we're not going to know everything. We don't need to know everything. All we need to know is what he shows us. And you remember, what is faith? Faith is seeing and agreeing with what God sees. That is what God reveals to us. He doesn't have to reveal to me what he's revealed to Deborah or to Greg. But what he does reveal to Greg and Deborah is not going to be contrary to what he reveals to me. But I don't have to see what you're seeing. I just need to see what he's showing me. See, if I'm trying to see what he's showing you, but not seeing what he's showing me, I'm going to get distracted with you and I'm not looking to Him and what's going to happen. I'm going to be frustrated in my spirit. And that's what a lot of people find themselves. They're trying to grab a hold of something God's gave somebody else and they're not seeking Him. They're not abiding or remaining or connected to Him. You got to be plugged into Him. Look, I brought this extension cord in here. This extension cord is exactly that. It's an extension cord. It has the capability of transferring electricity from a source to something that you need to empower. But unless this cord is plugged in, it cannot transfer any electricity. It cannot transfer power. It has to be plugged in to a source. Now it's plugged in. If I took something like my phone here and plugged it in, but I've got to have a medium to get this power into this phone. So people have designed a way to take this 120 volts and transfer it and change it to be able to tap into this phone and empower this phone. Well, I've got to have something to connect here to get that power transferred to here. Without this cord, this phone cannot be powered. It's got to have electricity into it. There's a medium that transfers that. Well, faith is that medium in the kingdom that transfers the life source, the flow of God's life in His Word into His people. It is the power cord for us to function and stay connected, to stay plugged into Jesus. And Jesus said, if you're not plugged into me, you can't do anything that has any eternal value. Can we do stuff? Of course, we do stuff every day. That is not of faith. Are you with me? How many of y'all do things that is not of faith? Amen. That's not operating in faith. That means you can do things, you just can't do anything with eternal significance unless by faith you are plugged in to Jesus. And the only way to plug into Jesus is to operate by faith. You got to plug into His Word. Amen. Got to trust Him. And when you trust Him, you stay connected. That's what a branch does. It's to stay connected to its life source. Our life source is Jesus. How do we stay connected to Him? By faith. We take Him at His Word. We believe what He says. We trust what He says. When that's happening, guess what? He's at work in us. And His life is now operating, flowing in and through our lives to produce His fruit. So, what is it? One, to stay connected. Number two, what does a branch do? Provide safe passage for the fruit of the vine. Only way for that to happen is you got to be connected, right? If you're disconnected, you can't provide safe passage. That's what a tomato branch does. That vine is what? Rooted in the soil, and from that soil, it's receiving all its nutrients, its nourishment, its water, and it's coming up through that vine into those branches. But soon as a branch gets cut off, whether it be on a vine or on a tree, you ever notice how quick a tree limb dies and those leaves start turning brown? No time after you sever it from its life source. Because life is not in the branch. Life is in that tree, or life is in that vine, and our life is in Christ. And the only way to provide safe passage for that fruit is we got to stay connected. When we stay connected by faith, His fruit flows in and through our life. What's the third thing? Lift up. What does the branch do? It lifts up. It lifts up the fruit of the vine. The vine dresser comes in and it helps us with that. It picks it up. It lifts it up for us. What is the other thing, the fourth thing that a branch is good for? One, it's got to stay connected. Two, it stays connected so that it can provide safe passage for the fruit. Number three, its purpose is to lift up the fruit. So the fruit brings glory to what? Not the branch, but what? The vine. and the work of the vine dresser who knows what he's doing with what he's got. But Hunter, what's the last thing? Deborah, what's the last thing? What's a branch good for? When the branch gets disconnected, because it happens, the only thing a branch is good for is what? For the fire. Fuel the fire. Fuel the fire. That's the only thing it's good for. That's why Jesus illustrates it like that. He says a branch that's not gets disconnected from him becomes fuel for fire. It don't take you long. How many of you like building a little fire when it kind of cools off? Build you a little bonfire. Roast you some hot dogs or some marshmallows or those types of things. You know, it don't take you long to walk off and scurry just the wood line right over there under some of these old trees and just look over a storm that came through, a hard winds that came through. Time just took advantage of some of these trees and those branches fall. And you can look, and those branches over time get a little brittle, and they dry out, and their leaves, some of them already gone, some of them may still be on it. Don't take you no time after a storm to walk through and find some branches that have come off the life source that are dying. You collect those up, put them in the fire, and all they become is fuel. We can't reconnect them. We can't get them back in. They just become fuel for the fire. Now, the advantage for the kingdom person, somebody that belongs to Jesus, is that Jesus can reconnect us. And all God's people said, amen. Praise God. Because I don't know about y'all, I've been disconnected in my journey with him more times than I want to admit. That I wasn't operating in faith. I got disconnected from him. I wasn't providing safe passage. I wasn't lifting up the fruit that was on me at that time, because it didn't have no life source keeping it alive. Now it's just I'm just dying. And I need somebody to come along and help me lift me up. And you see, that's where Jesus said, we as the brethren come along and find some of these branches, and we try to restore them. We try to bring them back. Jesus can reconnect us. But that's really the only thing a disconnected branch is good for, is to fuel a fire. And whose fire are we fueling? The enemy's fire. You see, when we're not living and abiding and operating in faith, you know what we're doing? We're simply fueling the enemy's fire. The scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 that some people have been taken captive by the devil to do his will. And a disconnected branch simply becomes fuel for the enemy's fire to do his will against the people of God. Instead of being the head that's in lead, we're the tail being drug around everywhere. You ever feel like that away? You just drug from one thing to the next. You're not in the lead. You're just being drug around. Jesus said one of the blessings of staying connected to him and abiding in him, he says, we won't be the tail, we'll be the head. We won't be the one drug around by everybody in our society. We'll be leaders in our society. We'll be leading our day. We won't be manipulated by what's coming next. We'll lead. We were not like a dog. You know, the head leads a dog's tail. He follows it. And wherever the head goes, the tail goes. And I want to be the head, not the tail. Amen. Where to be the head, not the tail, I got to be Spirit-filled. To be Spirit-filled, I got to operate in faith so that I can stay plugged in and connected to Jesus. And when I'm plugged in and connected to Jesus, you know what? Jesus flows through me. And his fruit then is displayed before the world. And that fruit looks like joy and contentment and gladness and delight. And it's not a mere surviving this world. It's thriving in this world that we're in to serve. And that makes all the difference in the world. How many of you ever feel like you're just surviving? I'm just barely making. I'm surviving. I don't think that's what he's intended for us to be like. He wants us to thrive, amen? Amen. We are triumphal in Christ. We are more than conquerors in Christ. We're overcomers in Christ. All these words sound familiar to you as the scripture describes the believer. You know, spirit-filled, joyful, glad-hearted, content, and knowing that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens and uses everything in our life. But a lot of times when we operate in unbelief and we operate in folly and we operate in fretting. How many of you ever fret? It happens at times. See, when you're fretting, that's just another recognition. Hey, I'm not connected right now. I've got to be restored. I need to get connected back into my life source. Because when I'm fretting, I'm not waiting upon the Lord. And when I'm not waiting upon the Lord, I'm not soaring with the eagles. I'm not walking and running weary and faint-hearted. No, I'm thriving in the kingdom of what God's given me. But if I find myself weary and faint-hearted and just merely surviving, that's an indicator that I'm not connected. I've gotten disconnected from Jesus. What do you normally learn how to do first? Stand. You crawl, but you stand before you walk. And you walk before you what? Run. You watch these little ones when they start growing. Just before they start walking, what do? They get themselves up and they got something they can hold on to and they stand there and they kind of weeble wobbly and they hold in themselves. And normally when they walk in like this, but they had to learn how to stand before they started walking. And they'll walk before they ever run. Well, that's the same way with us. What does it mean to abide in Jesus? It simply means to stand with Jesus. And if you want to walk with Him, you got to stand with Him. If you want to run with Him, you got to walk with Him. Amen?
Amen.
You got to stand. Standing is waiting with Him. It's connected to Him. Look over in Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 40. Watch this. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Look, if you would, verse 29. Let's just start there. Well, verse number 28. Verse 28 says this. Have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He neither what? He neither faints nor is. Now we want to keep in mind, when you connect it, when you plugged into Him, that's that source, that life source is transferred over to whatever it's plugged into. Now, the everlasting God neither what? Faints nor becomes weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Notice, now this is what I'm talking about. He gives power to who? And to those who have might, He increases their strength. Now he's going to show a contrast to that. He says, even the youths, young people, who should have strength, shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those, doesn't matter what your age is, it doesn't matter what your background is, it doesn't matter what you can do or can't do, but those who wait on the Lord shall do what with their strength? They shall renew their strength. What shall they do? They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not. Abiding is waiting. These are the exact same principles that Jesus was referring to in John 15 about being fruitful in the kingdom, is the same things that Isaiah is teaching us about the Lord. The word wait means to be connected to Him, woven together with Him. You can say it no different than abiding. It's the idea of being plugged into Him. Those that plug into Him, how you plug into Him? By faith. What is the revelation? Or how do you know I'm plugged in by faith? I am what? I'm waiting upon the Lord. I'm standing with the Lord. Man, you ever been out and about waiting for your wife and somebody asks you if they can help you? Because you were standing there, standing around. You just waiting on her and they say, oh, well, can I help you, sir? And you say, no, I'm waiting on my wife. I'm all good. She's in there shopping. She's doing whatever. She's spending all my money right now. I'm waiting on her. You ever do that?
I'm beyond help.
Yeah, look.
I just tell them I'm beyond help,
yes. Why am I waiting on Stephanie? Well, because I'm connected to her, one, but we've also communicated with one another that I was going to hang out right here while she went and did what she needed to do. I'll be right here when you're done. When you come back, you'll find me right here. And I'm standing here. Somebody recognize I'm standing there. They felt like they needed to help me, but the only reason I'm standing there is because I've already communicated with the one I'm connected to, and we've already committed to a plan that when she's finished, I'll be there when she shows back up, and we'll move on to the next door. Are you with me?
Amen.
Connected, communicated, committed. To wait or to remain or plugged into Jesus is because you've communicated with Him. You've heard from Him. You're connected together. You believed Him. You trusted Him. She trusts I'd be there. I trust she'd be back. No different than when I was a young boy. My dad used to leave me places and he'd say, I'll come back and get you. I believed in Him. I believed what He said. I knew He was going to come get me. There were times that I felt like I had a better way than what He said. He put me on a deer stand one time, told me not to get out of it. He'd come pick me up right where I was at. He did that for my own protection. Why? Because there was other people in the woods. Those people didn't know where I would be if I got out of that stand and I went to walking around in the woods. I could have easily been shot, and they accidentally shot me, didn't know. But I felt like I knew better, and I could hunt better if I got down on the ground. So I left the stand. And I went walking and made my way back, and he shows up, and I'm not in the stand. I'm walking around. Guess what? Because my dad cared for him, and he was teaching me a principle, he didn't take me hunting with him again for a whole nother month. I couldn't go back in the woods again because I wasn't where I was supposed to be. See, we communicated. We were connected. We were together. But I deviated from the committed plan, and it cost me. You see, when we deviate from the committed plan with God, we break communication with one another and we get disconnected from each other. Now I don't have the protection of my Father. I've ventured out on my own now. And Jesus saying, when you communicate, you trust me, we're together on this and we're committed to my plan and my purpose, I will renew your strength so that you thrive in your day-to-day walk in life. You'll overcome the obstacles that you face when you run, and you'll do impossible things that it ought to not be right or natural for men to do. You'll soar on wings of eagles. You'll do the things that are heavenly, supernatural. Why? Because you've trusted what I've communicated to you. We're connected together. We plugged in together, and we're both committed to one another. You're walking with me. That's the idea of abiding in Jesus. It means to wait on Him. And when you wait on Him, you rest in Him because He's faithful to come through with what He promised. And He renews our strength. We run without getting weary, and we walk without becoming faint-hearted. We become those fruitful vessels that He works in and works through for His praise. Amen? Let's go to Psalm 37 and we're out of here. I'm just going to read it just a few pages back. Psalm 37 and we'll be gone. I think this will help you just to see how we can get disconnected and how it hurts us and those around us. Psalm 37, look in the first few verses. Notice how it's easy to misplace your focus. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of evil. That's just a misplaced focus. If you misplace your focus, Brother Shannon, what's going to happen is you're going to be threatened by people. And when you're threatened by people and what people are doing or not doing, then you're going to become defensive and you're not going to be just in how you deal with people because you misplaced the focus. You got your eyes off on something else and not on the Lord. Verse 2 says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Don't worry about what's happening. Verse number 3, what are we to do? We're not to misplace our focus. We're not to misuse our faith. He says in verse 3, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, feed on His faithfulness, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Notice verse 7. Rest in the Lord and what? Wait patiently on Him. If you misplace your focus, you're going to misuse your faith because you're going to put confidence in yourself to fix the situation or the people you have in trouble with. Notice what verse 8 says in this same passage. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret. It only what? Causes harm. It's hurtful. Do not fret. It only causes hurt. It only causes hurt. When we wait, we trust. We dwell, we feed, we rejoice. Think about that for a moment. Waiting is resting. Amen. Resting is trusting. Trusting is filled with things like joy and hope and love and not an anxious heart and a defensive spirit. But God uses us to thrive and not just survive. And He wants us to dwell and feed on His faithfulness. That's thriving, not just surviving. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Father, we thank You today. I pray You help me, help us, help our church family with these things, that we would stay connected to You, that we would abide in You, that we would stay plugged in, that You would receive the glory for what You do in our lives, and we would continue to praise You for Your goodness and Your mercy. We need Your help. We need to hear from You. And I'm thankful that we can trust You, for You are trustworthy. In Jesus' name, amen.